crippled, didn't he? It's good to be back, and this is, I don't say this everywhere I go, but this is a special church in my heart. Amen. Got a kindred spirit with the one I pastored for 36 years. So.
Amen.
Amen. And pretty good cooks.
Yeah.
Amen. Ain't that a blessing?
Yeah.
I've been in some. You're going to have to go get you some food somewhere. For the north you get, they can destroy a meal. And everything is casserole. They make casserole out of everything.
Yeah.
Stuff that ain't even supposed to be a casserole. It's good to be back. Good to have my wife with me. And I've been kind of, took me about a 2-year break and built me a hot rod or two. And so I'm ready to go again.
Yeah.
And my health is good. People call me from everywhere, and I heard you had this, and I heard you. My health is good. My house is falling apart that I live in. Amen?
Yeah, right.
Some of you old folks can bear witness with that.
Yeah.
And so that's why I use a stick. My balance is off pretty bad, and I might start out here and end up at that wall back here before I can get control. I'm going to tell you a story on Brother Mike. You know, I love him and all, but he come down and preached for us, and we went out and eat. Bought his food, I'm talking about. Him and Miss Angela and Meyer, they just get up and walk out. And I wasn't with them. So they started trying to figure out where I was at. I was laying flat on my face. I fell in there. And so they just went out, and then they hung around out there a minute or two, I think. They said, come back in there, and I was getting up, and the guy's trying to give me the restaurant and next year of food and everything else. We were sitting at a table, and real dumb, they had it up on a little ledge, and the ledge was about that wide. So when I stood up, I stood up on that ledge. Well, when I stepped off, I just assumed the floor was level.
Yeah.
It was not level. Buddy, I hit that thing. Good gracious. I want to, this morning, something probably that will enlighten you. It did me when I got this study. And it's why we go to church on Sunday.
Yeah.
Y'all ever give that much thought?
Amen, brother.
Amen. Sunday is not the Sabbath.
That's right. Yeah.
Amen.
We're not Jews.
Amen.
It's not a holy day.
Right.
Christ, remember, he fulfilled all the holy days. So, and I just want to show you some, I think there's 7 references here to it, on why we go to church on the first day of the week.
Amen.
Now, the world kind of considers Monday the first day of the week.
Right.
But that's not true.
No.
And if you're born again, washed in the blood, every day should be a special day.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
You know,
amen.
Every day you can pray.
Yep.
Every day you can witness.
Amen.
Every day you can read your Bible.
That's good.
Every day you can minister to somebody.
Yeah.
So we don't have like the Jews had, where the Sabbath, they just dropped everything and went and done all their ceremonies and everything. And I had the privilege of going to Israel about 6 years ago, and I'm so happy that they're going to get to go. Y'all need to go to the Wailing Wall.
Mm-hmm.
That is so, it will break your heart to see what they do there, trying to please God.
Mm-hmm.
And we as Christians, and Paul said every day is a holy day.
Yeah, that's right.
Because why? We've been born again.
Yeah,
we're washed in the blood.
Right.
Amen. You can get up this morning and pray by your bed, in your truck, going to work. Amen. And at the stop sign, go in the bathroom at the workplace and pray. And we don't have to go to a certain place.
That's right.
Amen.
Right.
We don't have to look through a knot hole at a knot head and confess our sins.
Yeah,
amen.
Right.
Like the Catholics do.
Yeah.
Amen. And I had quite a few Catholics saved while I was pastoring. And I remember one man telling me that they have that holy mass on New Year's night at 12 o'clock. And he said, no matter what we was doing, no matter how drunk we were, because we was all partying, He said that we would stop what we're doing, hop in a car, and go to the Catholic Church and do whatever they required and head back to the house.
No.
Is that not?
Yeah.
Why would you want a God like that?
Yeah, right.
You know. So let's pray and we're going to get into this. What have I got here? About 45 minutes?
Yes, sir.
You got to put me on time limit. I'm old. I'm old and my heart's full. So. Well, Father, we do love you, Lord, and we sure thank you for loving us, and thank you for this good church, Lord, and this sweet pastor and his wife, and I don't know, God put our hearts together several years back, and they've been nothing but a blessing to me personally and always enjoy, and God, we just thank you. Ask now that you help those that's discouraged. God, if it's nothing else but just minister to them, give them some enlightenment about the Scriptures, Lord, and we thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
As I said, and there are a lot of Baptists that still think, and they refer to this day as the Sabbath.
Yeah, right.
Amen. Now, in our country years ago, and I don't know how it is up in here, but down in our part of the country, you could hardly buy gas on Sunday.
Yeah.
Some of you old folks remember that. And there might be one store or one little Quick Mark or handicap store. I'm handicapped, but that you might could go pick up something if you needed something. But it wasn't like it is today.
Yeah. Right.
No ball games on Sunday. No ball games on Wednesday. But see, all that's changed, and I don't know if it's wrong. I think you have to make a decision what you're going to do on Sunday.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. I choose to get up and go to church and come home, take a nap.
Yeah.
Of course, I choose that every day, so. I've learned something. If I can lay down about an hour during the day, I can get on. Ms. Meyer used to say, that's going to mess up your sleep tonight. Yeah, I stayed up to 7 o'clock if I sleep an hour, you know. So, if you're young, you don't understand nothing. You think you understand? No, you ain't got a clue. And enjoy it, every minute of it. Look with me, if you would, in John chapter 20. Now, the resurrection of our Lord did not take place Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm, right.
I know Brother Carpenter's taught y'all this, but still look interesting to me, ain't it? The resurrection of our Lord took place around 6 o'clock Saturday evening.
Right.
And in the Jewish calendar, the night comes before the day.
That's right.
So Sunday night would have been at 6 o'clock Saturday evening,
right.
And according to our, to 6 o'clock Sunday morning.
Right.
That's the night is before the day.
Right.
And so in John chapter 20, when Mary, the Bible plainly states there that when she went to the tomb while it was yet dark.
Yeah.
See, that's not been put in there just for coincidence.
That's right.
I was telling you that the day had not come yet.
Right.
It was still dark. And this is what it says. The first day of the week, that's Sunday, cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark unto the sepulchre and seeth a stone away from the sepulchre. He rose at night, but he wasn't missed till the next morning.
That's right.
See? And so one reason we gather on Sunday, the first day of the week, is to celebrate that resurrection.
Yeah, amen.
Every Sunday morning, you get up. Get yourself ready. Set everything aside. You come to celebrate the resurrection.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
You ain't going to be no more saved if you don't show up.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
You're going to be pleasing to God. Why?
Right.
Because you come to celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
And I made a statement the other day just out of the clear sky, and I don't know where it come from unless sometime I make a lot of statements I know where they come from, but... I said, you know, getting saved hardly ever changes a person. You know what changes you once you get saved? Fall in love with God.
Amen.
There are a lot of people saved that never fell in love with the Lord.
Right.
Amen. And that's why they are by the wayside. That's why they're just a pew sitter. They do nothing else. They don't ever love. Paul said the love of Christ constraineth me.
That's it.
And it was Christ's love for Paul, not Paul's love for Christ. Because that'll waver. That'll go up and down. You don't ever hate Christ, but you get closer to him than you have sometime, and you know, and stuff like that. But we do that to celebrate his resurrection. Now, I'll get into it in a minute. I can't get ahead of myself. Every Sunday worship service is a remembrance of his resurrection. You sit here this morning, and we're able to come together. We dressed pretty nice today and cleaned up pretty good. And you hear that preacher get up, and he can preach with a touch of God on him in the truths of this Bible because of the resurrection of our Savior.
Right.
If there was no resurrection, Paul said, we're most men most miserable.
That's right.
I think in Corinthians 14 or 15, somewhere in there. And it is true.
Yep.
If we gathered here this morning without the resurrected Christ, we'd look like fools.
That's right.
And Paul said that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Now, there are a lot of religions in this world that I consider to be fools because they have nothing to hang their hat on. They have nothing. They don't have a resurrected Savior.
That's right.
All they got is a bunch of do's and don'ts. And, you know, you got to sacrifice this and you got to give that and you got to say Hail Mary 400 or 500 times and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But we're here this morning free.
Yep.
Washed in the blood.
Amen.
Our sins has been gone.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
And we come this morning as a joyful thing that we're gathering with God's people of same like that's been saved.
Mm-hmm.
And we enjoy the songs of Zion. We enjoy the preaching of God's word. And it's just a refreshing time to me. I mean, I've been going to church. I've been through a lot of health problems, and I probably ain't missed 20 days of church.
Amen.
I just like going to church.
Yes,
sir. Amen.
Amen.
And some I like going better than I like going to other places. But if God's people there were two or three gathered in my name, amen.
That's right.
He said, I'm in the midst.
Amen.
So that's one reason we do, to celebrate the resurrection of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look in John chapter 20. I want to show you the scriptural, if you want to base it on scriptural, the scriptural time to meet is Sunday night. Amen? That's when they met. Now, if you look there with me in John chapter 20, verse 19, it says, and then the same day, that's verse 1, at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. So they gathered Sunday night.
That's right.
Now, I don't know if that was fear of the Jews. I don't know. Well, it says that, but maybe night was a better time, a more secret time.
Yeah, right.
They was gathered in the upper room in Acts chapter 2, but they was there in fear too. See, the early church was persecuted.
Yeah, right.
Continually. They clamping down on the churches in China. Brother Jimmy is in danger over there being arrested any day, our missionary in China, and they're clamping down, but persecution always, always helps a cause.
Yep. That's
right. See, we got it so easy here. You ever thought if somebody stood at that door this morning with a gun and said, you can't come in here.
Mm-hmm.
We're closing this place down. Well, what about Brother Mike? Well, he got arrested last night.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what would become real precious to us? This church.
That's right. You're right. You're right, Brother John. That's good.
Amen. This church would be real precious.
Mm-hmm.
You know that which is forbidden is real precious.
That's right.
You know why Eve went over in that tree and she said, well, God said don't eat of this, but they got to be something special about it.
Mm-hmm.
So she grabbed a piece and ate it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Amen. Your kids, you raising them. Don't you go there. Don't you. We didn't have a lot to do in Mississippi where I was raised, so we just steal apples and peaches and plums and watermelons. And that was the excitement. Why? Because they told us not to do it. Man, get upset when you bust about 10 watermelons, just eat the heart out of them. Y'all remember that? Looked like a hunk of sugar in there. You can hardly buy a decent watermelon now no more. But that's our nature. That's the way we are.
Yep.
And when God saves you, he hopefully changes you.
Right.
That's how the devil tempts us. Yea, hath God said?
Yep.
Right.
That's the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Right.
But the next thing, the disciples met on Sunday. Gathering of the disciples on Sunday, recording the passage here, and these services They saw the living God, the living Jesus Christ, the resurrected Christ. I got a message I preach out of this text, and I might preach it tonight on what you miss by missing Sunday night service.
Yeah, right.
Because churches all over this country are doing away with that Sunday night service.
You're right.
And when I was pastoring there at Gloryland, that was the service.
Yeah.
We love Sunday night.
Right.
Sunday morning, everybody still got boogers in their eyes and stayed up all night watching and playing games and all that. And they finally drag in there, you know. But Sunday night, they freshed and ready to roll.
Right.
And so it was always a good time. And that's the scripture time of meeting. Now, any time where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them also. So any time's a good time.
Yeah.
You can come here every day of the week.
Yeah.
You can gather every morning at 10 o'clock. That ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Be pretty good, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But somebody got to work and support us lazy preachers. So.
Yeah.
Amen. I had a man one time, me and him really had a few words. He said, you preachers, all you do is you just get up on Sunday morning and preach. I said, well, won't you follow me around for a week?
Yeah.
See what you think about that. But they met on Sunday, first day of the week, and the Sunday gathering there was in verse 19. Look what it said. Then the same day of the week, even the same day at evening, the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. They was hiding. I'm not sure this ain't the upper room.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like that'd be where it's at. I'm not sure that it's not. But it don't say that. God didn't feel it important enough to tell us that. But they were still gathered there on the day of Pentecost. So maybe they might have stayed up there 50 days or just a good hiding place up there, you know. And but the next thing you'll see there about Sunday, why we go to church on Sunday, is the day of Pentecost. Now, the day of Pentecost is 50 days. Remember, after his resurrection, 50 days. So 7 times 7, 7 Sabbaths. It's 49.
That's right.
So 50 was that Sunday, was on a Sunday.
That's right.
That he decided to reveal himself. And so we gather there. We gather on Sunday, and that's when he shows up. Like I say, Sunday's not a holy day. But it's a day of honor.
Yeah,
it's a day of respect.
Right.
You know, the Lord, when he created the heavens and the earth, he said he rested on the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've always been puzzled why God had to rest.
Yeah. Yeah.
He just spoke it into existence.
Yeah, right.
Y'all give him thanks thought?
Yeah, right.
I mean, he didn't take a trip down to Myrtle Beach or nothing, but... I mean, you know, the Bible says he spoke it into existence. He just spoke and it was there. But he said on the Sabbath he rested. I believe he was trying to tell humans, you do need to rest.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
And don't be in the ministry of full-time rest.
Yeah.
But every once in a while you got to take a break. And the older you get, the more breaks you'll take.
Yeah.
Some of them forced on you. You don't have a choice in the matter. But Pentecost was on Sunday, if you figure it up that way. And you'll figure it up to the fact that I don't know why God, and I believe it all surrounds the resurrection of the Christ, of
yes,
our
sir.
Lord.
Yes, sir.
That's the most important event that's ever happened in this world.
Yeah, right.
Nothing, no bigger than that, is a resurrection. Now, if he had been crucified, if he had been put in the grave, but didn't come up, we wouldn't have nothing here today.
You're right.
What we got is a resurrection of our Savior.
Yeah, amen. Thank God.
That's what we rest everything on. That's what we're going to heaven on. That's what we trust our salvation in, the fact that he rose from the grave. That's what we pray to a God. The fact that he rose from the grave.
Yeah.
The Bible says, and I think it's in Romans, I think it's the first chapter of Romans. I might have my scriptures wrong, or my book wrong. But it said, proven to be the Son of God by the resurrection.
That's right.
Anybody could have done the other.
That's right.
Any man could have done the other.
Right.
But only Christ.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. God raised him from the dead.
Good.
And so we come to church on Sunday to celebrate. We need to come, when we come to church on Sunday, we need to come with a joyful heart.
Yeah.
Joyful spirit.
Right.
You say, well, I don't feel good. I've gotten a pulpit so many times. I've been put in a pulpit in a wheelchair when I went paralyzed that time. And but you know, when I left, I felt better. You have too, Brother Mike. You got in here sick as a dog.
Yeah.
Preach yourself happy.
Yeah, right.
Seriously, when you get through or in that little 45 minutes or hour, however you preach, the next thing you know, you ain't sick no more. Yeah. You get out of the pulpit and then you're about to die.
Yeah.
That's God. God does that for us.
Amen.
Right.
And people say, well, I got a headache. Well, you're going to have a headache at home.
Yeah.
Won't you come here and have the headache?
Yeah.
Just be quiet about it.
Yeah.
Well, my back hurts. Well, your back hurts at home.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, them pews ain't comfortable. Bring your chair.
Right.
We've had chairs set out in our sanctuary. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, just, you know, you work through it.
Amen.
And I had a lady one time told me that she didn't know she was going to make it to church because she thought she was going to get a throat ache. Whatever that is, I don't know. We called it sore throat. A throat ache. She precious lady. She's going to be with the Lord too. When you get about my age, I'm knocking on 80. When you get about my age, everybody you know is either in your condition or gone. We buried one Friday. Brother Harold Taub's wife passed away. Precious Christian lady. Amen. But that's what's happening. Sunday worship is to renew our commitment and our spiritual energy. Sunday worship is a fueling station.
That's right.
It's like you running down the road, every once in a while you got to pull in and get some gas.
Yeah, amen.
And I'm telling you, the world we're living in, you probably need about 4 Sundays in a week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah.
This ain't, you got a lot of gas.
Yeah,
and you don't get many miles.
Yeah.
Out of your gas. In the old days, the churches were scattered out. I'm talking about 150 years ago. They were scattered out. They had one service a month. But the people was on the farms. They had very little temptation other than the wickedness and evil that was in their heart that was natural. And in the old days, a Methodist might come by and use a building this Sunday. And the next month, a Baptist might come by and use the building. And then the building was usually used for a schoolhouse during the week.
Right.
Amen. But see, down the day we're living in, there's so much to draw us.
You're right.
I don't know this church. I don't know everybody individually. But I'm telling you, there's some people right here that ain't here today because they all doing something they ain't supposed to be doing. At the lake. Or
right.
I always puzzle me why a good, solid Christian would go buy a $18,000 bass boat.
Yeah.
When you going to use it?
Yeah, right.
Amen? And what they normally do is, well, we found a little church up there we can go to on Sunday.
Yeah.
You ain't supposed to be in a little church up there. You're supposed to be in this church.
Yeah, right. Amen.
It's like getting a job and you go off about 100, 200 miles and the same company is there, so you just go over and work there on Monday.
Yeah.
Same company.
Yeah.
You just clock in over there and say, I'm going to put in a few hours over here.
Yeah.
And I've been saved 44 years, 45. And when we first got saved, we was at church on Sunday.
Yeah.
If we travel, we got back. We didn't leave on Sunday morning and didn't come back the following Sunday night if we took a week.
Mm.
We left after church, come back before church.
Amen.
Amen.
Good.
6 days is enough anywhere.
Yeah.
This ain't going over good, Brother Mike. Amen. I'm about a 3-day person. Anywhere I'm at, about 3 days, I'm ready to go home.
Amen.
don't matter who I'm with, about 3 days, I'm ready to head to the house.
Amen.
And I don't sit well with Miss Meyer, but we've been hanging around each other for 55 years. I guess we had something worked out. All right, if Paul preached on Sunday, look in Acts chapter 20, verse 7. And this is when he preached all the way to midnight. Acts chapter 20, verse 7. I got the wrong reference there. Let me look at this again. Oh, Acts. I mean John. That's still a good book, ain't it?
Yeah.
I've heard so many messages out of this set of scriptures. If he'd been all the way in church, he wouldn't have fell out.
Yeah.
I've witnessed that too. They just go flat asleep. That's something else I'm noticing. And I got a good pastor. He's one of my preacher boys. I mean, he's a good preacher, but I still get sleepy.
Yeah.
It ain't that he's boring. You just get sit down and you get relaxed, and next thing you know, Myers are kicking and I'm a nodding. Last time I was out at Arizona with Brother Mike and them. Remember I come in there on Tuesday morning?
Yeah.
Of course, I was burnt out. I never understood burnout. But I come in, sat down on Tuesday morning, went dead asleep. I slept through three preachers, all the singing. I did. All the singing, all the special music and everything. On the front row. I mean, I'm on the front row. And Brother Calvin wouldn't let nobody wake me up. He said, that ain't Brother Charlie. If he's asleep, he got problems. So I got up and went back to the motel, and I never went back to service, I don't think. I come home and retire. That's enough. That's enough. I went to sleep one time, and I'm just killing some time telling some stories. I was preaching in Ohio, and Brother Terrence was with me, and Brother Josh, the man I'm sitting under now, I'm on the front row. The preacher was so boring that, and I was up next to preach. I was the second preacher that night, and I'm going to sleep. I mean, nodding off, jerking my head, and they both bumping my boots, you know, trying to keep me awake till that guy got through. Of course, I got up and said something smart aleck when I said, you know, I think we need to do like they done in the Old Testament. When that priest went behind that curtain, they'd tie a rope around his leg. And if the bell quit ringing, they'd drag him out. They thought that was funny. That old boy's bell quit ringing quite a ways back there. He thought he was apologizing for how hard he was preaching, and I said, man, you ain't got a clue how hard preaching is. Brother Terrence will tell you that if you ask him about that. Yeah, when the bell quits ringing, pull him out. The believer observed the Lord's table on a Sunday. Look in Acts chapter 20, verse 7. It said, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Now, Paul preached to midnight, and he had to get up and get going next morning.
Yeah.
Amen. But evidently, the way they would celebrate the communion, or Lord's Supper, as we call it, they would bring their food, and then Paul rebuked them in Corinthians, you know, about how the well-off people would bring all the fancy stuff, you know, and kindly separate yourself from the poor and down and out. But it says here, when they come together to break bread, they was eating. Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on tomorrow and continue his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. God, if you read this Bible slowly and think about it, this man went to sleep and yet there were many lights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. There were many lights in the upper chamber. In other words, it wasn't dark.
Yeah.
It wasn't cozy, and you did not have a comfortable seat if you sat in a window.
Yeah.
Amen. And there sat in the window a certain young man named Eutychus, I think is how that's pronounced, being fallen asleep into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, been there, and sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third law. He's three floors high. That's about, what, 30 foot? That's a pretty good drop. And was taken up dead, and Paul went down, fell on him, and embraced him. Trouble not yourself. No, don't worry about it, son. For his life is in him. And Paul brought him back up. I guess he finished preaching. But that was on the first day of the week. That's when they was breaking bread, was on the first day of the week. And so that's a Sunday.
Yeah.
Another reason. See, everything here is celebrating the fact that Christ rose from the dead. Mm-hmm. Everything. We're here this morning because Christ rose from the dead. That's why it's important together. Forsake not the assembling of thyself together, as a manner of some, as you see the day approaching.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you something, loved ones, the day is approaching.
Yeah.
In our country.
Yes, sir.
We are about two steps being away from a third world country.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't get that nut out of that Washington up there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're killing. They're doing away with everything pertaining to America and the ways of America.
Right.
And
right.
But baby, that's God.
Yeah.
You have to kind of consider that too. You know, God puts them in and God takes them out.
Right. Right.
According to Daniel.
Right.
So maybe who's in there is God.
Mm. Yeah.
God put him in there.
Mm.
And it could be judgment upon us.
Yes, sir.
Upon ourselves, upon us, upon
You're
the church.
Right. You're right.
The church has dropped the ball.
Yep. Yeah, you're right.
Born again Christians, what
right.
I'm talking about.
Amen, Richard.
They got churches and gatherings around this country that would never even resemble a biblical church.
Mm-hmm.
And people that never would resemble God's people.
Yeah.
And it might be God. I know one thing, you got to keep your eye on the Lord.
Yep.
He said we're our own priesthood. You got to gather your own wood and keep that altar burning.
Amen. That's good.
Amen. And Sunday church service are primarily for preaching. Now, let me say something else. I don't mean to be in the shock mode. But I think the way God designed this thing is for us to come together, draw strength from each other,
mm-hmm.
encourage each other, pray for each other.
Right.
Get pumped up, get confessed up, and go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. I don't believe the church was ever intended by God to be a soul-winning tool. The people in the church.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
You come in here and you just get closer to the Lord and closer just preaching, and you get encouraged, you get excitement, you get a burden.
Yeah.
And then you go back out on the workplace and in the neighborhood and try to get people born again, washed in the blood. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And to come in and be encouraged in the Lord. Get your sins preached about or against.
Right.
What's the Holy Spirit supposed to do in John? Convict you of sin, righteousness, and judgment?
Right. That's right.
Man's preaching with a touch of God on him. You're going to be convicted.
Amen.
I've been convicted, and he ain't said nothing about what I was convicted about.
Right.
It's just being in that atmosphere.
That's right. That's right.
Being in that atmosphere where God's at and where the Holy Spirit's blessing.
Amen.
I've seen people get saved in a service, and ain't salvation ain't been mentioned.
Yeah.
They just get under conviction.
Right.
Now, it's good to get people in church.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Real good. And that's what we ought to be doing.
Right.
Because he said, compel them to come in that my house may be full. Mm-hmm. So it's good to get them in here.
Amen.
And it's good to try to minister to them when you get them in here. It's good to sit by them. It's good not to put them in the middle of a pew.
Right, yeah, right.
You put them on the outside. So if they want to go down, amen. I've seen people bring people we've been praying for, and they'll crowd a pew and put them right in the middle of it. Well, they got to walk over everybody to get out of the pew.
Yeah.
You bring a lost person in here, you trying to win to God, let them sit on the outside of these pews so they can just step out and go. But ain't nothing wrong with that. But You come to this church right here to get pumped up, fueled up, excited up, get reminded of what God done for you. What mess you was in when God saved you. I know we look out among us now and boy, we all look pretty good. But if you ever heard the testimony, it's probably of people right here, and I don't know nobody personal.
Right.
You think, my goodness, really?
Yeah, right.
I'm in a new church now. One of my preacher boys is pastoring it, but his people, I'm teaching for him, and every once in a while, I say something about before saved. Well, they just don't. They see me and Miss Meyer now, you know, we're the great, big, holy. They say, really? You done what? You know? God will clean you up.
Yeah, that's right.
God will fix you.
Amen.
You get in, get saved, fall in love with the Lord. You know why he's been here 18 years? He just had it easy. Ain't no upsets. Ain't nobody said nothing bad about him. Miss Angela, I mean, they just loved him to death. Anywhere they go in town? No, he fell in love with the Lord.
That's right.
When you fall in love with the Lord, what's that? He who mind is stayed on the perfect peace shall
they have
whose mind is stayed on the Lord.
That's right.
You realize what you're here for. You realize what you're in this for. And you'll have peace right in the middle of the most tragic thing in your life.
That's right.
Amen. And you can't go around with your feelings hanging out. Man, I've had to deal with stuff and get right in that pulpit.
Yeah.
And my church never heard nothing about it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get in the pulpit and spread gossip. Mm-hmm. I didn't get in the pulpit and tell what preacher got messed up. Mm-hmm. I didn't introduce that to my church. But 3 months later, they'll come and say, Brother Charles, you hear about Brother So-and-so? I said, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you didn't say nothing about it. I said, if it happened to you, would you want me to say something about it?
Yeah, right.
People's weird. I mean, really, you know, if something happened to your marriage, would you want me to say something about it in the pulpit?
Right.
You might be able to reconcile.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Right. Amen. The more you stir it, as the old folks said, the more it's going to stink.
Yeah.
All righty, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, people gave their offering on Sunday.
Right.
And, it says on the first day of the week. Let me go there and look so y'all know I'm doing scripture here. It said, now concerning the collection of the saints, as I have given you order to the church at Galatia, even so do ye. And Paul said, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. Now, lay in store, and I've heard this term. I don't really know what it means, but storehouse tithing. And I know I've read stuff about the old days that people would be, like if they're going to have a big meeting, they'd be canning stuff and bringing food, you know, and storing it up. Brother Percy Lake, that's what they do over there at that big camp meeting. He can sleep 3,200 people at that camp meeting. The barracks are still there with the beds in it. If you ever go up 78 like Memphis, he's at Myrtle, Mississippi. You can see church off to the right. What a, and that was the place to be back in the years. But his storehouse, you know where? Yeah. And Percy Ray, one of the great men of God of our time. And but storehouse tithing, I think it might be talking about, you be careful not to spend that. You be careful that's dedicated to the Lord. Now, what me and Miss Meyer started doing years and years and years ago, that ain't even counted. That ain't ours. That belongeth to the Lord. The Bible says, know ye not that the tithe belongeth to the Lord? So don't even count that in, and if you got a little left, you're going to throw it in the offering plate on Sunday. And I see people, and ain't nothing wrong with this. Offering plate come by, they'll drop $5 in, but they tithe in like they should. But they still drop something in. I put one check a month in. So if somebody's sitting there looking at me and Miss Meyer, well, he don't give them nothing. You ain't got a clue what he gives. Amen? You got to get that thing orderly. You got to get it precise. You got to have it in priority.
Right.
Amen. This is what we're giving, and this is when we're giving it. And God will bless you. And I'm here to testify that. God will bless you. And so it says, now concerning the collection of the saints. So there should be a collection. 2 Corinthians 9:1 and 9:9 and 9:12 says, as God has prospered you. You say, well, should we give 10%? I think you ought to give a little more.
Yeah, sure.
I've always have. It took me 5 years to realize God's going to get it. He can get an offering plate, or he can get it in a transmission in your car. He's going to get the offering. He can get it in your air conditioning unit. He can, amen. You can tithe down at the doctor's office. He's going to get the tithe.
Yeah.
Well, it belongs to him.
Yeah, that's right.
And I learned that the hard way because we were going to Bible school, and boy, things were rough down there. And we had a little old dog named Happy, and Miss Meyer went out one day and backed over Happy. And I had $40 that's supposed to went to tithes, but we struggled real bad down there. And so I had this $40 going to get us to the next week. Guess where the $40 went? To the vet. Amen. So God got the tithe.
Yeah.
And a lot of people ain't realized that yet. Amen. And give, and it shall be given to you, good measure. Pressed down, well shaken.
Yeah.
Shall the Lord give unto you? No, shall man give unto
That's
you?
Right.
I was flying overseas years and years ago, reading my Bible, killing time on that 12:30. That's a boring thing, man. Amen. Especially a big person. You get in one of them little seats about as wide as this Bible. And then you get another big fella there, and so you ride 14 hours leaning. You get out of there, you can't even walk. But I was reading, and I was reading that text right there because I was going over to preach a mission conference, and it said, shall man give unto you? Say, well, God's going to touch the heart of man.
That's right.
That's good.
God's going to touch that heart of that boss to come out and say, you know, I've been keeping eye on you. You're doing a good job. I think we're going to give you a raise.
That's good, bro.
Amen. You ain't in control of yourself when it comes to you being born again. The Bible says you're not your own.
That's right.
You're bought with a price.
That's right.
And when God saves you and you trust in Him, you know what He does? He takes full responsibility.
Yes.
Well, we need to buy groceries. Well, you probably do. But you know what I've had? I've had groceries set on my porch.
Yeah.
I've had cars given to me in the early days.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. You say, what we do now? Well, we're able to help somebody else.
That's right.
And when God sees that He can trust you with things, He'll give you things.
That's good. That's good.
When He sees you can be trusted with money, He'll give you money.
Mm-hmm.
If He can trust you with it.
Amen.
But most money, I think it was John Wesley said, when he gets his hands on a great sum of money, he gets rid of it as soon as possible before it makes its way to his heart.
Yeah.
Right.
And money will make its
right.
way to your heart.
Right.
You take somebody to get a good income tax check return, son, you can't even deal with them. You can't talk to them. They miss church, all the money's gone. Go out and buy a bunch of food, and in about 3 months they come pick it up because they can't pay for it. I've seen it, boy. Come in a brand new car. Oh, man, this thing ain't but $800 a month. All right, last thing. I tried to add quite a bit of little stuff in here. But people gave their offering on Sunday. Now, there again, you can give it each Sunday, or you just need a set way of tithing. And do it quietly.
Yeah.
Do it peacefully.
Right.
Don't brag about it.
Amen.
Don't tell people about it.
Right.
Amen. And you got to have a good treasury in a church to keep his mouth shut or her mouth shut.
Right.
I know one particular, well, I know several that women are the treasuries, and I don't agree with that now.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. You say, why? Well, thank God for a good godly woman. that has a quiet spirit. But I know two or three situations where she tells other people what who's giving.
Right.
Well, he stood up and shouted in church. Boy, he's showing out in there, but he sure don't give much.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't none of your business.
Yeah, that's right. Right.
Amen.
Right.
And you got to have especially if they go sour on you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And a man will do the same thing. I know a man that took the church money and he went to a dog track in Birmingham, Brother Sam Delaney's church, when he was up in Metalla. His treasury took the $11,000. And what he was doing was getting out of it and paying his bills and then paying it back, but it got out of hand.
Mm.
He went to the dog track in Birmingham hoping he'd make a big lick and get... People say, Gerald, you'll write a book. Nobody will believe the book. You can't believe this stuff. But you ask Brother Delaney about that. And I think he lost, I don't know, about $8,000. I can't remember the amount, but he lost a lot of that money. Yeah. So you don't know.
That's right.
You know, you just, and I know in the Bible, Jesus' treasury wasn't too hot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I don't know who the treasurer is here. I better get off of this. That probably ain't of God, so let me get on down the road. And then John was given the revelation on a Sunday. Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. Remember? Now, it says something here that people get all messed up on. It said, and on the Lord's day. Now, there are two references in the Bible of the Lord's day, and one of them when he comes. But then Sunday is also a reference to the Lord's day. And that does not again mean a holy day or a special day. It simply means the day that we recognize that our Lord rose from the dead.
Right.
Amen. Revelation chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. I, John, who also am my brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God, for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He was there for persecution. And he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet. Now, I believe that to be Sunday. Sunday's made reference many times to the Lord's day. But if you know your Bible, and I'm pretty sure you do, you've been sitting here on Brother Carpenter, that there is a Lord's day when he comes again.
Right.
You know, that's just like the Sabbath. People teach that Christ rose on was killed on Friday and rose on Sunday. That ain't 3 days and three nights.
Right.
Not even in South Carolina, you can't get 3 days.
Yeah.
Three nights out of that, can you?
Yeah.
You say, why? They don't know their Bible.
Right, you're right.
And see, what they teach is that they wanted him out of there before the Sabbath, that Saturday. No, once a year, there is a holy Sabbath, once a year. And that was at the Passover. That's when it's celebrated and observed. And so what they done, they didn't want him on the Sabbath, on that holy day.
Yeah.
Amen? That's why they got him off the cross.
Yeah.
They got him off the cross about 6 o'clock Wednesday,
mm-hmm.
put him in the grave, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 3 days, three nights.
Mm-hmm.
You say, well, it just, and I've had people say, well, I was just afraid. No, Jesus said himself, know you not that there are 12 hours in the day?
That's right.
He created the day. He knows how many hours is in it.
Yeah, amen. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, these Bible scholars need to get a checkup. But he was on the Lord's day. He was on the Isle of Patmos he was being persecuted for preaching the gospel, preaching Jesus Christ and his resurrection. The only thing that messed with them people's head is the resurrection.
Yeah, right.
He could preach all he wanted to about him being a prophet. But when he got on the Son of God and the resurrection, that's what blew their mind. You know, that's what disturbs people today.
Yeah.
That's exactly what disturbs people. You can go out and talk about the crucifixion all you want to. Boy, you're talking about he rose again,
yeah,
so he
right.
could forgive us of our sins. They think you have judged them and condemned them right on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So I hope you got something out of that.
Amen.
It was a help to you.
Amen.
When I run across it, it helped me. I wasn't in doubt about it. They just said, go to church on Sunday, and I went to church on Sunday.
Yeah.
That's something you're getting into now in this generation of folks. They question everything.
That's right.
And they question all authority.
Yep, right.
He's authority. This is authority.
Yeah, amen.
Your leaders in this church are authorities. Your boss is authority.
That's right.
You take a young man to get a job. They got mines around Birmingham, and some of them mine jobs are paying $100,000 a year, brother, and they can't keep workers. They needing welders down there right now in one of the mines, not inside that underground mine. And they can't keep workers. They hired three people. I got a man that manages that, Brother Cody, Hurst. And he said three of them showed up and three of them didn't show up. $100,000 a year. 8 hours a day, Monday through Friday. Where are we at, man?
Yeah, right.
I'd have joined the mafia for $100,000 a year. Y'all got to lighten up. Take it right there.